Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Leadership Lean In. We are leaning in to the subject of leadership, getting a little bit better, improving one day, one podcast at a time. Thank you to everybody that has been sharing, subscribing, liking, commenting. It's kind of funny. I saw the other day the Nate Robinson, Jake Paul fight. Someone was made a meme. God bless memes. They said the last thing Nate Robinson heard was like and subscribe from Jake Paul. That made me laugh. And it is no laughing matter, though. Like and subscribe. Thank you to everybody that's listening via Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. We are bringing weekly content. This was a once a month interview podcast, but we have changed the format. We are jumping in and talking leadership for about 15, 20 minutes. We are going to interview someone coming up soon. And thank you for sending in the questions via comments of things you want us to cover on the podcast. We are looking at those and we're going to get to your questions ASAP. Okay, I want to jump right in. Today we are talking about the consequences of no conflict. I want to convince you that conflict is a good thing. Most of us shy away from, we are afraid of conflict. And what I'm not encouraging you to do today is to look for conflict. If you're looking for conflict, it's kind of a sign that you're a hurt person, a hurt leader. Hurt people, we know, hurt people. Because they're wounded, they try and wound others. We're not going out to look for conflict, but anytime you work with humans, people, teams, families, conflict is inevitable. I never have a problem with conflict. I only have a problem with the person that doesn't have conflict resolution skills. You got to resolve your issues so that we can move forward together. And I actually believe that if you can get a little bit better at conflict, it means you'll get a little bit better at leadership and a little bit better at leading others. So someone said to me this last Thanksgiving break that I thought was so brilliant. He said, you know, people don't leave jobs, people leave people. That was amazing. Let's look at the law of opposite of that. People don't stay for jobs, they stay for people. Why would you stay for a person? Because they're great. They treat you with kindness. And whenever conflict, whenever issues emerge, which is inevitable, we handle them in a cordial manner, we handle them in a constructive manner, and we handle them in a timely manner. There's nothing worse than a leader that keeps long accounts. And then 9 months later, a year later, they bring up something that happened, you know, last Christmas party, last year for my birthday, so on and so forth. You got to keep short accounts, and you got to always approach people, not for you just to air your grievances, but for you to bring better constructive criticism to the person that you're talking to. So I want to just convince you that conflict is a good thing. In fact, the rewards they pale in comparison to the consequences. The consequences of not addressing the issues are so vast, they are so destructive, and you got to make sure that you understand, I would rather live in the little bit of reward than have to face the devastation of the consequence. So let me give you a few things to consider, to ponder in your leadership, to think about when it comes to the area of conflict. Number one, conflict creates trust. I don't trust the one that is secretive. I don't trust the one that thinks to themselves about their issues. I trust the one that comes to me. I trust the one that airs out their issues and says, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I feel this way. I think we should have done this. I trust. It builds trust. Now, remember, the foundation to every relationship is three things. It is communication, respect, and trust. Without trust, there is no relationship. This is the pillar, the foundation of relationships. So when I confront things, when I bring conflict to this situation, the fact that I'm bringing it to the person, not talking about it around the water cooler, not subtweeting about them, not just having pillow talk with my spouse, but going straight to the individual, it doesn't take away trust, it builds trust. I trust that you're going to talk to me. I trust that you're going to tell me how you really feel. There's nothing worse than someone that gives you great lip service, but in their heart, they carry war. I would rather deal with the person that speaks to me directly and I know doesn't gossip, doesn't badmouth, doesn't backstab. There's no betrayal. They're just, you know what? This is what it is. And you've got to look at the conflict that you're facing with a teammate. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Go straight to the source. Nothing worse than somebody that's like talking to everybody about the problem except for the person they have the problem with. None of those people can do anything about the conflict. You've got to go straight to the person. One of my favorite leadership authors is Patrick Lencioni. He's written incredible books, tons of amazing books. I recommend all Patrick Lencioni books, but one of my favorite books from Patrick Lencioni is The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Every team has dysfunctions. Every team has some things they got to address. Guess what? We cannot get better if you don't come and bring your issues to the table. We can all improve by hearing what you have to say in a constructive manner. Number two, I love this one. Conflict creates clarity. Most people are so afraid of conflict when it is actually such an opportunity to bring great clarity. I just want to clarify, these are my expectations. I want to clarify, this is your role and this is your responsibility. I want to clarify, you know, I actually don't like it done this way. I would prefer it this way. It just brings great clarity. And who doesn't want to live in a world with clarity? If you don't bring the issue that you have, if you don't confront it, there's room for question marks. There's room for wondering. Are we good? Is everything okay? It's like, no. Here is the elephant in the middle of the room. I want to clarify. Let's talk about it. Have you ever been in a relationship where you had to walk on eggshells? I think great leadership is saying, hey, see these eggshells? Let's talk about them. In fact, I don't, you know, because I'm an empathetic, compassionate leader, I don't want to stomp on your eggshells, but in order for us to move forward, we gotta get rid of these eggshells. And let me clarify. I think that being a leader is sometimes clarifying why you did what you did, when you did it. I think you need to bring clarity to, is like for us, we just did our Heart for the House offering for the church. And on our website, you can go to our website, zoechurch.org/heartforthehouse. And on it, we just put out like how much money comes in, where does the money go? We show the pie chart, X goes to venue, X goes to operations, X goes to salaries, X goes to tithing, X goes to saving. And it's like just that clarity brings safety. It's great communication. It's just saying, you know what? Hey, if there was going to be a conflict here, no. Let me just clarify. This is what we're doing. This is the direction. This is what we're up to. I think when you confront issues, you are clarifying. Maybe it is your motives. Maybe it is a comment. Whatever it is, let's remove the questions, remove the awkwardness, remove the loneliness, remove the isolation, all the consequences, and let's get back to being right, and let's get back to being clear. We have no room for mixture here. We can't half offended, half okay, half in, half out. No. Let's clarify. Are you in or are you out? Are we good or we're not? Because if we're not, let's talk about it, and let's confront the real issue. Here's the third thing. The conflict creates chemistry. I love this one so much because it's actually when we address what we need to address and we confront our offense, we confront our misunderstanding, we confront our feelings, whatever it is, when we confront, it actually lifts the atmosphere. I have actually had to confront things with individuals and out of the confrontation, there's conflict, there's disagreement. And at the end, it's like, I'm closer to you. I love you more. I'm grateful we talked. Let's go get a bite to eat. Well, not right now. You know, we're in lockdown here in LA, but you know, maybe we'll grab a Zoom link and hang out. But it brings great chemistry, great connection. Some of your best relationships will come because you actually went into the trenches, you fought it out, you worked out your problems, and now you're good. And I just don't trust people. I don't have great chemistry with people I haven't fought with, had a disagreement with. you having that moxie, that backbone, that you have your own opinion, you're your own person, that doesn't break down trust. It builds trust and it builds chemistry in the relationship, chemistry in the team. There's nothing worse than being on the team where it's like, what's so-and-so thinking? How come they don't ever speak up? How come they're not talking right now? What do they really believe about this? How come they're so quiet? You know, it affects the mood. When you confront the issue with us, the chemistry goes to another level. I cannot emphasize this enough. The consequences of not confronting our issues are destructive, but the rewards are beautiful and fantastic. Maybe your team lacks great chemistry because you haven't been in the locker room and say, "Hey, man, how come you don't block out? Hey, how come you running your own play when coach said this is what we're supposed to do?" It actually lifts the chemistry. I was kind of lamenting the fact that the Lakers, we lost Rajon Rondo. You know, I wanted Rondo to stay. I feel very good when we're in playoff basketball and playoff Rondo's on the floor. And someone was telling me about the Lakers, you know, that Rondo, his main role and responsibility was in the locker room to make sure that AD and LeBron had equal say and to make sure that all the guys were listening. He's a chemistry builder. You cannot build chemistry without a little confrontation. Hey, you're pouting. Hey, you know this is not about you right now. Hey, you're kind of going off and doing your own thing. You know, when we leave the office, how come, you know, it's like you're hurting the confrontation builds chemistry. It doesn't hurt chemistry. It only hurts when you don't address it. So last one, number four, conflict creates creativity. I love this one. And we're going to end with this thought here. Conflict actually creates creativity. When I address our money, I go, is where we're at in our financial reality. These are the bills that we got to pay. This is the debt that we're looking at. Let's get creative. What can we do? How can we save some money? How can we do? When I confront issues in a relationship and we say, this is where we're at. This is what's happened. This is what's gone down. All right, let's get creative. What can we do to move forward? You are stifling your creativity if you're not confronting your issues. The more confrontation I bring to the reality, the more I inspect what's going on, the more it allows me to get innovative and creative about solving our problems. We've been going through rounds of our org chart. And we look at the first draft and we look at the second draft. But can I just tell you, the more we confront the reality, what COVID has done, being an online church now, not meeting a person, it helps me get creative about who do we need to hire? Whose role do we need to pivot? What do we need to be up to? When you get there, the creative juices start flowing. But I guarantee that most of us get stuck because we're not willing to look at, well, you know, so-and-so's had this role for a long time. You know, this is how we've always spent our money. This is what we've always done. Well, listen, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We've got to pivot. We've got to change. We say it all the time. Your superpower is flexibility and agility. And if I don't confront these issues, then all of a sudden, all the creativity gets zapped out. That's why you got to confront your social media, confront what you're doing online, confront what's going on in the bottom line of your organization, confront the staff members. It's just like we are inspecting the reality of the situation so the innovation and the creativity can soar through the roof. And I really believe the better you get at confronting the little things in your life, the easier it becomes to confront when it feels like the big things come in your life. In fact, if you get good at confronting, whether it be people, problems, yourself, whatever it is, if you get in that habit and that routine of facing the hard stuff, when something that to the outside world looks big, to you, it will look small. It would just be like another day of confronting what I need to confront. David, I conclude with this. David in the Bible, one of my favorite stories is the story of David and Goliath. And David comes out to visit his brothers. They're at war. All of Israel's on one side and the Philistines and this big Goliath guy's on this other side of the valley. And the Philistine is taunting and totally, you know, mocking every day. And David comes and he goes, "Who is this guy?" Now, all of Israel was petrified. None of them would go face this giant. But this little shepherd boy comes and goes, "You guys, I've been facing lions and tigers and bears, oh my, every day. I go against these guys all the time. This guy is no different than this guy. See, when you confront the problems of your life, time management, energy management, your budget, your relationships, your own life, your will, your mind, your emotions, when you confront at this level, when something that looks big to others, you'd be like, come on, guys, let me take my little slingshot and do what I do with this big problem. It's the same thing I do with this problem. I just confront it. And the more you get good at that, the things that cripple other people, the things that take out other leaders will become for you just another day at the office. Saul tries to put his armor on David and say, David, you go out and you wear my gear. You're going to be able to do this. And David goes, no, that's not how I do Monday. And that's not how I do Tuesday. I'm going to treat this big problem like I treat every other problem. I treat it head on. And I build trust with people. I build chemistry with people. I bring clarity with people. And I actually get creative. And so, yeah, I'm going to go use my slingshot because that's how I confront my spirituality, my emotional health, my physical health, the financial reality of my life. This is how I just confront it head on. I can't encourage you enough. The rewards are phenomenal, but the consequences far outweigh the rewards. Why would I say it that way? Well, because remember, negativity is sometimes so much more powerful than positivity. They say for every one negative comment, you need 8 affirmations to wash over that negativity. Negativity is so powerful. The negative side of not confronting is awkwardness. It is questioning. It is mistrust. The damages are insurmountable. But the rewards of confrontation, I create a world of trust, a world of great chemistry, a world of great clarification. Everybody knows where they stand with me and they feel very secure in my relationships and the creativity's off the charts. We love you. We're rooting for you. Confront what you need to confront every day. Keep short accounts because the big stuff is coming and it will feel all the same to you as you develop into the leader that you're supposed to be. We love you. Thank you for liking and subscribing. It's the last word you hear before. We're out. Love you.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.